Welcome back. We trust that the light of God's word is shining on your path. Well, there are some other things he said, and since we have the pastor here, let's be opportunists. Let's listen to him again and rightly divide this word of truth still on this issue of the Holy Communion. Sit back and enjoy this short clip.
The opening that has been chosen for me by my producer, Pastor I.G. Ekwere, is a lengthy one.
Okay.
So I'm going to take it. I wait for you to give answers, then we'll continue. It's a page-long entry, okay. And I'm going to take it. It comes from a guy, Alex Dianga. It doesn't seem to be writing from Nigeria. It says, "Dear servant of God, I greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. I've seen a short clip posted on WhatsApp in which you address the subject of the Holy Communion. It's a very short clip that may have been extracted from a longer message. That clip may not give the entire context of what you are trying to convey. However, from the clip alone, one gets the picture that you are saying that what you are saying does not represent the truth about the Holy Communion. Holy Communion and Passover are two different things. Holy Communion was done during Passover because Christ was crucified, before Christ was crucified, and Christ commanded us to continue doing it in his remembrance. We are not to observe the Passover, but to take the Holy Communion. The word communion simply means fellowship. The disciples had a holy fellowship of eating together as they remember the Lord's death. It's also called Eucharist in Latin. Do you agree to that point?
No, I think he's quoting the Bible out of context. First of all, your submissions are not scriptural because there's no such word as Holy Communion in the Bible. It does not exist anywhere. What we have in the Bible is the Passover, which was a feast of the Jews, which Moses gave to the Jews as his way of communicating to them of what Christ was going to do in his death, burial, and resurrection. And that is why when Jesus came in the book of Luke, he did one with them and he told them, "I will no more eat this with you guys, this, until that day in my Father's kingdom." And when Jesus rose from the dead, he ate it with them by way of teaching for 40 days. Now, the disciples never practiced Holy Communion. What you have there is the breaking of bread. The breaking of bread is what we call love feast. And then they also had supper. The Lord's Supper is not the Passover, and it's not the communion. The Lord's Supper is dinner. They ate dinner. They had a culture of coming together to eat dinner or to have a love feast. But the Passover ended in the book of Luke. When Brother Paul was talking about it in the book of Corinth, he was talking to the Corinthian church as carnal men in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, because the Bible is contextual. He said, "I could not speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, because there are divisions among you." So based on that, he began to talk to them concerning, you know, love and forgiveness and walking in love. And then he said to them, "Christ, our Passover." So our Passover is no more a feast. Our Passover is a person. His name is Christ Jesus. However, I will help you because I did an extensive two-hour teaching on that. And we don't have time to get into all the technicalities of the exegesis on that. So I recommend for you Discerning the Lost Body, part 1 and 2. It will give you a comprehensive picture, but it was not an endorsement because the Holy Communion is not in the New Testament. It's not in the Bible. It was rebranded or it was coined. By, you know, by, I don't want to call names now, for Christian practice, but it is not a scriptural teaching. However, today, our communion with Christ is spiritual. When we receive his word, we're eating his body and we're drinking his blood through the teaching of his word. That's why Jesus said, "The words that I now speak to you, they are spirit and they are life."
Papa, I just do justice to Alex Dianga by taking the closing comments that he makes. Some believe that the bread and wine actually become Christ's physical body and blood.
It's not possible.
Okay. Others believe that the bread and wine remain unchanged, but that Christ is spiritual and uniquely present with the bread and wine.
Jesus lives on the inside of the believer, not in bread and wine.
Still others believe that the bread and wine symbolize Christ's body and blood.
Well, we don't work with symbols. We work with the reality. Why do you need symbols when the real deal is here?
But Papa, I'm wondering what you say to him in his closing comments. He took a shot, says, "For these very reasons, I humbly submit that your comments on the Holy Communion on that clip may mislead the flock of Jesus. As such, I request humbly that you correct that impression."
Well, the short clips that are always given for genuine and sincere and serious people always have reference. It's always put there. It is an excerpt from, and the details are given, and how to order for the complete message is also given there. So people that are serious and really want to learn will always call our office and get the complete notes and go through the entire teaching. And that's the way to go.
Altogether, what this man is saying, sir, is that when the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, he said, I will not eat of this fruit of the vine until the day I drink it with you.
Yes.
Yes. He said, Jesus Christ ate the communion with them during the 40 days by teaching, by the way of teaching. That Jesus partook of the communion by the way of teaching. He said the disciples never practiced Holy Communion. What they practice is love is breaking of bread.
Well, I think I've explained that.
Yes. He said the Lord's Supper is not communion. It is dinner.
Whether you call it dinner or supper, it is what they were doing at that time. It was an ordinance instituted by God himself to Moses.
And that the Passover ended in the book of Luke.
So which one, then how did Paul receive it again? Mm. When Paul was not with the disciples at the time of that narration.
Amen. So when we receive his word, we are...
Paul received it long after he resurrected and ascended.
Yes, sir.
Long even after Pentecost. And we are to receive it. If it's the same spirit that Paul received, you will to receive it.
Yes, sir. To summarize what he's saying, he says, when we receive his word, that's the word of the Lord Jesus, we are drinking his blood and eating his body.
I know what he's referring to there is in John chapter 6.
And he ended by saying, we don't walk with symbols. We walk with reality. And the communion is symbol, but we have Christ in us. And we don't walk with symbols. Nothing like the bread and the wine symbolizing the body and the blood of Christ.
So that is rewriting the Bible now. That's what he's doing. He's rewriting the Bible. He's not a believer of the Bible. Just like Jehovah's Witness said, they are Jehovah's Witness, not the witness of Jesus. His owner is rewriting. How can he make such statement if he really understands that he does not work with symbols?
Yes, sir.
How will you understand? That means if you were around when Christ was talking in parables and parables and parables and parables, no wonder what Christ preached was not meant for everybody.
Amen.
And Christ was asked, why do you speak in parables? He had people like that in mind.
Why do you speak in symbols?
Why do you speak in symbols and parables?
Hallelujah.
So you cannot see why. Because you know that people will be there trying to grope. And then when he comes before his disciple, he will explain it
to them.
Amen
and amen.
He explained it to Paul. He's explaining it to us also.
Amen.
Now, when you talk about you eat, how did he put it?
When you eat, when you receive the word, you are eating his flesh and drinking his blood.
Now, that is not the context Christ spoke it here in John chapter 6. Now, if you see in John chapter 6, this is what he spoke let me put it this way. Verse 47.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life.
Yes.
I am that bread of life.
Now, what does he mean by saying he's that bread of life? Because, go on.
Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead.
Uh-huh.
This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that the man may eat thereof and not die.
And now, what he is now saying is the word that you will eat.
Amen.
I agree with him, but how do you eat this word?
Mm.
The word eat here is understanding, digesting it, receiving who Jesus Christ is.
Mm.
Now read on.
I am the living bread which came down from heaven.
So it's talking about types.
Mm.
Why will you say I am the living bread? You don't say you don't believe in types, and then yet you are saying what it means is mean this.
Mm.
Why are you not taking it literally?
Mm-hmm.
Yet you believe it, Abel.
That's right.
He's speaking that I am the word. You are now breaking it down. The word is the reality.
Mm-hmm.
Do you eat it? Something that is real, it means it is practical. You can feel it. So, but you are now using it. You are speaking in a language that lets you know that it's speaking in symbols.
Amen.
What does the word of God symbolize? When you receive word, the word that you receive, their spirit and their life, because it's describing the power that when you hear the word of God, its effect on the believer.
Amen.
It is sharper than two-edged sword. Mm-hmm. When you receive it, now they use all these symbols to describe the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now Christ is not telling you, you know, that that remember how he spoke to Peter, who the man said, I the Son of Man am. Peter said, thou art Christ, the Son of Living God. And then he said, upon this rock. You know, which rock? Symbol.
Amen.
Symbolizing something. You know, Hallelujah. Upon this rock, I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. What is gate of hell? Is it a physical gate? All these are symbols. What is the gate of hell? Now, the reality, so no more types, no more. How will you then understand the gospel? So here he is in John chapter 6, and then verse 51, what did he say?
I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world.
You see? And all these are symbols.
Amen.
Meaning something.
Amen.
And then he went further, verse 53. In fact, verse 52.
The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat?
Because they were looking at it carnally. Brother, don't look at this word of God carnally.
Amen.
You know, the letter killeth. The spirit that giveth life.
Amen.
Then he explained to him.
Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life.
Now you see, I heard him emphasizing why he said, some people say they take communion for healing. You know, you see, it depends on how you look at it. You know, for we walk by faith.
Amen.
Revelation.
Amen and amen.
Not by sight.
That's right.
We walk by faith. What is communion? Communion is reminding us of what Christ did on the cross. He offered his body and his blood for us. The songwriter says, let the water and the blood from the wounded side which flowed be of sin, a double cure. Symbols.
Amen.
You know, you need revelation to understand the impact of that. So, if the Bible says, by his stripes I am healed.
Hallelujah.
That is the word of God.
Amen.
Now, there is, now you begin to look. What does he mean by his stripes I am healed? When did that take place? It took place on the cross.
Amen.
He was killed on the day that he was killed. So, and now you come and say, I look back to what you did for my healing. And I claim this healing that you offered to me on the cross on Calvary when you offered your body. And you are praying, you are holding that bread. It's a point of contact. For he said, as often as you did it, you remember what I did on the cross on Calvary.
Amen.
And you pray that God will give you healing. You have not broken scripture. But if you just go communion, Holy Communion, give me bread so that I'll be healed. You are not eating it by revelation. So you won't have effect. And anybody that says, come and take communion and receive healing. Now he's doing it wrongly. Okay. Because no bread will heal you.
That's right.
No water will heal you, deliver you. Nothing. It is pointing to the cross on Calvary. Now, he said, he sent his word. And his word healed. Yeah. That's Psalm
107. 107, verse 20.
Now, take notes.
Hallelujah.
Let me follow you.
He sent his word.
Just one moment. Now, listen, Psalm 107. Now, in Psalm 107, you know, it's a history.
Yes, sir.
It's a testimony of their journey and how the Lord dealt with them. You know, where he says, from verse 1, just read it and see something.
Oh, there. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy.
Now, verse 3.
And gather them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them.
Then what happened?
Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that men will praise the Lord for his goodness.
That all it took place in the wilderness journey. Mm. Then in verse 15, so that we get the impact very well.
Oh, that men will praise the Lord for his goodness.
Yes.
And for his wonderful works to the children of men.
Yes.
For he have broken the gate of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder.
Uh-huh.
Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. And they draw nigh unto the gates of death.
Uh-huh.
Then they cry unto the Lord.
Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble.
And he saved them out of their distress.
How did he do it?
He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions.
He sent his word and delivered them. When did this take place? In Numbers chapter 21.
Numbers 21.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
From verse 4, read it up to verse 9.
Hmm.
This is what is making reference to.
And they journeyed from Mount Or by the way of the
That wilderness journey, yes.
To compass the land of Edom.
Uh-huh.
And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way.
Uh-huh.
And the people spake against Moses and against God and against Moses.
Uh-huh.
Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness?
Uh-huh.
For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people.
Uh-huh.
And they beat the people. And much people of Israel died.
Uh-huh.
Therefore the people came to Moses and said.
They came to Moses and said.
We have sinned. For we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.
Uh-huh.
And Moses prayed for the people.
And what was the word?
And the Lord said unto Moses.
This is the word
Amen.
That was sent.
Mm.
This is the word that was sent and healed them. What did he say?
Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole.
Uh-huh.
And it shall come to pass that everyone that is beaten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.
And that is the word that he sent and healed them.
Mm.
So in John chapter 3 now.
John chapter 3.
Verse 14.
Sent his word.
You
Hallelujah.
See?
And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness.
He said the same way that Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness.
Even
because
so,
his people were committing sin. Serpent was bad and they were dying.
Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believes in him should not perish. But have eternal life.
Can you see the connection?
Amen. For God so loved the world.
That he did what?
That he gave his only begotten Son.
You see the word that he sent now. Mm. Who is this word? In the beginning was the word.
Hallelujah.
And what was it? That is Isaiah 53.
Amen.
That is the word that was sent to heal us.
Mm.
And he shouted at the cross on Calvary, it is finished. So that is the word that was sent.
Not something abstract.
Yes. And I heard him making a statement in his interpretation of Hebrews chapter 12.
Yes, sir.
And verse 2. Far from verse 1.
Wherefore?
Because this is what he said. He said, the Bible says, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He said, what that scripture mean? Ebed Amina said it. What that scripture mean? Is that you should look away from the law.
Mm.
You should look away from
Abraham,
from Abraham, from Moses, from all those ordinances, and look unto Jesus. So those things are expired.
Mm.
But he was willfully misinterpreting that scripture.
That's right.
Because the context of that scripture is from verse 1.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses.
Who are these witnesses?
Amen and amen.
They are witnesses. They are heroes of faith.
Mm. Hallelujah.
They were heroes of faith.
Amen.
That they are the one listed in chapter 11.
That's right.
Then what did he say?
Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily.
We are to lay aside every weight and the sin that draws us back, besets us.
And let us run with patience.
Run with patience.
The race that is set before
us. Uh-huh.
Looking unto Jesus.
We should look unto him.
The author and the finisher of our faith.
Uh-huh.
Who for the
now,
joy.
Now, that is, we should learn from him.
Mm.
That's the meaning of that verse.
Amen.
Learn from Jesus.
Mm.
He's the author and the finisher of our faith. After all, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Hallelujah.
We are to learn from him. Who? What are you to learn? What are you to learn?
Who for the joy that was set before
him? There is a joy that is set before us, like Jesus Christ had.
Endured the cross.
That is what we are to learn from. That's the meaning of looking unto him.
Mm.
We are to learn to also endure.
Despising the shame. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
So that is it. See how he overcame. Read it. Continue.
For consider him that endured such contradiction,
against
himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind.
So look up to him. If you look up to him, just like the next verse, what does it say?
Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin.
So the emphasis of verse 2 is that we should learn from him, not that we should look unto him in the way he presented it. I think he was saying that, you know, because he said he studied for hours. So what was we were studying, and then you could not don't pick a verse out of context. Read and get the full context. If not, you will go off.
Amen.
That's the truth.
Wow. Okay, sir. We have so many other things he said, which we will take in subsequent episodes of Rapture Watch. But in closing, can you still admonish the bride of Christ shortly?
I have only one word for you. Study. And take it how you hear.
Take it how you hear.
How you hear.
Amen.
And that make the Bible your absolute. And be careful there are so many voices in the land, so that you make sure you choose and follow scriptural voices. And how do you know it is scriptural if it is not against the scripture?
Amen.
Contrary to the Bible.
Amen.
Then you follow it. Anything the Bible said, do this, and a sweet tongue preacher, a motivational speaker, they are always very, very sharp, very intelligent,
eloquent,
try to dissuade you, you know, take you out of the scripture, you know. Be wise.
Amen.
And feel free, when you hear anything anywhere, to give us a call, and we will gladly answer you.
Amen.
That's why we have the question and answer program every Monday.
Hallelujah.
7 p.m. Pastor. On this station.
Amen.
You can go back to our archives and listen to the past questions and answers.
Amen.
In our YouTube channel, Facebook, Instagram, and all the rest.
Yes, sir.
And you have no fear. Always remember, elect cannot
be deceived.
Hallelujah. The reason is because we have the true fivefold ministry that will keep us in
line. Amen.
Remember that the Bible says, even in the Old Testament, that we should not remove the ancient landmarks wherein our fathers
sat. Hallelujah.
God bless you.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you very much. We are defenders of the faith in the Bride Assembly, and the Lord has provided this platform to keep the light of truth shining in this generation. We'll be taking more and more, correcting more and more of these erroneous teachings as the Lord will permit. So please don't stop watching Rapture Watch, and don't stop watching The Bride TV. And we'll come back in our next episode. There are still many other things from this same preacher that needs to be corrected. And I believe the Lord will give us proper words to answer them.
And other preachers.
Yes, and other preachers, as the pastor has just said, and other preachers. Mm-hmm. You can be well assured, Bride of Christ around the world, that God has left himself the witness for his truth in this generation. Keep watching The Bride TV. Thanks, and God bless you.